One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for London.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Band.video, Odyssey, Rockfin, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. We know you have a lot of choices out there. If you want to share this show with your friends and family, we wouldn't mind that as well. It helps to grow the show. If you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Macroaggression, where I yell at robots all the time. Thank you to our sponsors. My goodness, we couldn't do it without them. Preparewithmacroaggressions.com is the landing page that was built for us by My Patriot Supply. They are putting together everything you need to keep you alive during this insanity. They've got storable food. They've got survival coffee. They've got equipment. They've got everything that you need, camping gear, food, lighting, water filtration, air purification. I mean, really, they've got just about everything you need. Hopefully, you don't need any of it. I mean, hopefully, you've got this and you don't use it. But if you are, if you listen to this show, I think the chances are we may need this. And what's the worst that can happen? You get stuck with a lot of extra food. You should be so lucky. So I'll tell you what, be proactive. Take care of this stuff now. 10 minutes, you can knock it all out. Just go to the landing page, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and sort yourself out in a couple minutes. Maybe you're already taken care of. You've got a friend or family member living out of state that you want to make sure they are protected and safe. You can maybe order them up some food and send it to them if you're so inclined. So thanks, everybody, for supporting our sponsor. Also to Chemical Free Body, Tim James, the owner of the company, has been on here plenty of times. He always gives us very smart, logical, rational advice on how to improve our health. We talk about being proactive a lot on the show. That extends to being proactive with your own health. I mean, there's nothing worse than being sick. And when you feel bad, you'd give anything to feel better. Well, I'll tell you what. Sometimes the best way to not feel bad is to prevent yourself from getting to that place in the first place. Take care of your body. And I do realize, I fully recognize that the vitamin industry is very scammy. It's filled with a lot of products that don't really work the way they say they're going to work. But Tim is convinced that you will like his products so much that he's got like a double your money back guarantee on it. I don't know that he's used it. I don't know that people have ever returned stuff. I mean, it works. I've been taking it, the products, for 2 years, Green 85, every single morning. I took it this morning, just like I did yesterday, just like I'll do tomorrow. So get yourself on the system. Get yourself on the program. If you've got some extra weight you want to lose, consider the gut and toxin detox bundle, the detox in a box, as they call it. That stuff will, you give it 90 days and you follow it. You drink the drink in the morning and you take the capsules in the during the course of the day. And you tell me, all right, you tell me what it does to your body. It thinned me out and I'm already thin. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I just wanted to see if it would work, see if I would feel better. I obviously felt better. I felt so good. I had to go buy new clothes because my shorts didn't fit anymore. So if you are so inclined, you can go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and just take a look. He's offering a first-time customer discount of 20%. So load up. If you think you're going to get a bunch of stuff right now because there's going to be a good deal. Oh, and by the way, there's free shipping inside the United States. So chemicalfreebody.com/macro, or you can just use the promo code macro on your way out to save yourself a little bit of extra cash. And of course, we appreciate Tim James. He knows what we're up against. A lot of our sponsors do. All of our sponsors do, frankly. They know what we're facing. What are we facing? What are we facing? Because if you go online, sometimes if you go in the wrong parts of the internet, nowadays, I guess it's mainstream, they'll tell you that we're facing the biggest threat to humanity, domestic terrorists, you know, white supremacists and all of that stuff. Yeah, look, they're just behind every tree. I can't go to my mailbox without tripping over a bunch of white supremacists just hiding everywhere, just looking for a way to victimize me and my... look, none of this stuff is happening. We know this. It's the media. They're awful. It's designed to keep people fearful and scared and wondering about the other person. Oh shit, they're going to come get me. They're going to get me. These white supremacists are going to come get me. I really doubt it. The white supremacists are busy trying to figure out how to feed their families with their rapidly depreciating value of their Federal Reserve notes, just like everybody, you know. I make no excuses for white supremacy or black supremacy or any of that stuff. I don't give a shit what color spacesuit you're wearing, right? If you're cool, you're cool. If you're a dickhead, you're a dickhead, and it doesn't matter what color you are. But again, you know, I fully recognize that there are some people out there, and they do care what color you are, and they're very particular about what kind of spacesuit you're wearing because they want it to be the same color as theirs, and if it's not, then they've got a problem with you. That's low IQ, thinking. That's people that don't have a passport. Those people that have never left the country, those people that have never gone anywhere, they've never done anything, they've never interacted with people that don't look like them. You'll find out, you know what, we may look a little different, but we've got quite a bit in common. One of the things we've got in common is that we have a really psychopathic government that is trying to fill our heads with fear. Because it keeps us very pinned in, it keeps us clamoring for protection from them, keeps them relevant. Can't stay relevant if nobody's fearful. If everyone's just kind of living their life and they're not worried about anything, what do you need the government for? Well, what do you need the government for in general? But when you're scared, a lot of people go, help me, daddy government, to figure out what's going on. And when you do that, there is a trade-off. They'll tell you what's going on. The problem is there's going to be an agenda injected into that, and it might not be the truth. So one of the new things that we're hearing everywhere we go is that there is, and this kind of wraps in a bunch of things, domestic terrorism, white nationalism, anti-Semitism, which is a broad term that is vastly overused. But when you hear these things, sometimes they are talking about a concept called the Great Replacement. Have you heard of the Great Replacement? Have you heard of it? Because I hear about it all the time now. And not just from Alex Jones, you know. This is being talked about a lot of places. But depending on where you hear it, the following sentence, you know, The Great Replacement. And then what's important is what is said immediately after that. Known by most as an anti-Semitic white supremacy trope, or known as the conspiracy theory, the Great Replacement, a theory handed down by white nationalists and white supremacists and anti-Semites and the Ku Klux Klan and I'm running out of white people, white groups that are supposed to be marginalizing everybody. You name them, they're talking about this, right? It's got to be the most dangerous thing in the world, right? The Great Replacement theory. What is it? Oh shit! It's white nationalists are talking about it, aren't they? Dude, white nationalists can't spell it. I guarantee you they're not talking about it. Not that it would matter if they were, and what are they going to do about it? This is not something that could be put in place by a couple white nationalists. The Great Replacement theory requires a huge push. And guess what? I'm not so sure that it's fake after all. I'm really not. And we're going to talk about it because I think it's important to understand this because it's a term that we're going to hear thrown around a lot. Because it's got all that stickiness to it, which is you can cram all the adjectives, you just attach it right to it. You can call people white supremacists because of it, anti-Semites. You can call them anti-Muslim for mentioning it. You can call them domestic terrorists, which is a fun one, which is very open-ended. So there's a lot of sort of negative connotations that you can attach to it and brand people that talk about this as being all of the bad things that you don't want to be called. But I don't give a shit about that. And I'm not really concerned about being called those names because I don't care. I don't value the opinion of people that would call me these names. So it doesn't really matter to me. But what does matter to me is understanding it and getting it right. And listen, if we go through this list and at the end you think that it is a white supremacist operation, then that's fine. You can believe that. But I don't think that it is dangerous. It's certainly not dangerous to talk about it. I think this is something that it's an observation. And as an observation, we're allowed to have different opinions of it. The way you see it, based on where you live and who you interact with, you may say, oh yeah, this is 100% happening. And others may say, I don't know. I don't really see any evidence of it where I live, and therefore it may not be as real as people are making it out to be. It could be all those things. It really could. So let's talk about what it is. So a guy named Renaud Camus, a French author, wrote this book in 2011 called Le Grand Remplacement, and my French is not good. But so this isn't some book from like the 1700s or anything. It's a 10-year-old book. And he said that he wondered if this was genocide by substitution, if they were replacing the establishment population with a different population that didn't look or think or act like the current occupants of this place. Now, he was French, and in particular, he was speaking about Muslims in France. He was talking about how they're coming into France. This had never been really a thing, or maybe it was, you know, a couple hundred years ago, but it in modern times hadn't really been a thing. Sure, there were some Muslims, but it was more like there's a wave. You know, it seems coordinated. There's so many coming in. And let me do the disclaimers and all that song and dance right now, just so we get it all out of the way. I don't care who you think runs the universe, whether it's Muhammad or Jesus or the spaghetti God in the sky or any of that. I don't care. And you can believe whatever you want, and I can believe whatever I want. And I don't think any of us necessarily know how it all works. And we're all on this quest together. So I don't really care I don't have any sort of negative connotations or feelings towards Muslims or that religion at all. It's not, as long as, again, my theory on religion has always been this and will continue to be this. I don't care what you believe in, as long as what you believe in doesn't hurt other people or your family, or is toxic like this. So as long as your version of this religion isn't interfering with the people next door to you or the people across the street or the people in your own family, and you're not being an asshole because of your religion, or you're not saying, well, God said that I'm chosen and so I can do all these things because fuck everybody else. Well, you're a shithead, and I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, atheist, or whatever. You just are. So it's not about the religion. But in this particular case for the book, what he was talking about, based on his geography, is the fact that we've got a Muslim influx in France. Let's try to figure out if this is organic or if this is being made to happen. And if it's being made to happen, why would it be made to happen? What are the benefits for the state to infuse a new group of non-locals into the system? What does that do to the system? Why would you want to? Why are you messing with the system? We've had this sort of, France has been run this way for a long, long time. And why all of a sudden are we doing this? So I think it's important to analyze this, to have the conversation. And again, if somebody is telling you, you can't talk about this because it's racist, well, look, then you've got to talk about it. Because whenever someone reflexively puts that racist label on something, they really are trying to tell you, don't go near it. Well, I want to go near it. I especially want to go near it because I figure there's some good stuff in it. I mean, if you're willing to call random people racist just for talking about it, then it's got to be worth talking about. So let's examine, what is it? So let's talk about immigration. We're going to talk about this in relation to Europe, because this is where the author was coming from. And I want to be clear, I haven't read the book, okay? I've read parts from it, I've read little clips, but I haven't read the book. But I do understand the concept of it. And it, in the book, being about this in France is less important to me than when we sort of pivot and look at it through the lens of what's going on in America. But I think it's important to mention why it was written and in the context in which it was written, and get to the bottom of this. So the Muslim share of population in Europe has been on the rise, and it has gone in the last, just in the last 6 years, the number of the Muslim population in Europe has gone from 19.5 million to 25.8 million. Just in 6 years. So that's that's a million a year if you want to average it out. And this has been noticeable. There are, what they're saying is that if you take this population and you extrapolate it out, where you say, well, there's this many now, and there's a flow coming in, and then we have to take into account those that have already come in are going to stay and have kids. Then we have to take a look at birth rates. Then we have to take a look at a bunch of factors, okay? But what they're saying in this document or in this paper, book, but the statistics behind inflow migration into Europe from the Muslim population is that 25.8 million today will look like 75.6 million in 2050. Now, I feel like we've kind of gone over population growth numbers before when we've talked about the stuff that Kissinger was doing in the Third World with that 1974 document where he was talking about depopulating through vaccinations and food as a weapon and all that crazy shit. We started talking about numbers, because they were talking about numbers, and they were saying, listen, if you cut these people off at the legs early on, then you really do a good job of crimping their population moving forward. It doesn't make, it fizzles out. But if you don't do anything about it in the early years, then you wind up with a huge problem in the later years. And again, I'm not trying to say that Muslims immigrating into Europe is a problem, but the author thought it was worth mentioning as a trend and as an observation. So you can put on to this label whatever you feel. Like if you feel 75 million Muslims in Europe would be a problem, well, maybe it would. Maybe it would, and maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But that is tripling the current population now. And if you're in Europe, especially if you're in the Scandinavian countries, you have seen some issues regarding the Muslim influx there. Okay. Again, it's a very dangerous subject when you're talking about this stuff, because you're talking about race and you're talking about it in a negative way, and you know you kind of walk right up against that line of racism. But again, look, disclaimers and all that shit, we've got to talk about it. You can add your own personal feelings on whether it's good or bad. I'm just going to lay it out and just talk about some numbers. So, because I love numbers and I love percentages, and I think it helps to paint a picture of where things are going. So let's talk about this in terms of the German population too, because Germany has had a big problem with their groups, not just Muslims, but their groups not assimilating, group clogging up, so to speak, in a big batch of a certain nationality in one section of a city, and not assimilating well and having problems integrating into the broader German society. So with them in Germany right now, you've got 6.1% of the population is Muslim, or I should say in 2016, 6.1% was Muslim. Where they're showing that number can go to by 2050 is 19.7. So more than tripling. Again, it stays kind of in line with, almost exactly in line with, the extrapolations for Europe in general, going from 25 million to 75 million. Well, here in Germany, you've got roughly 6 million going to about 20 million. That's a noticeable change over 2050. Now, of course, things can happen, you know, like if Germany doesn't get any electricity, then all, you know, 6% of the population, 6.1% currently, maybe they'll all be dead. Maybe everyone in Germany will be dead because they won't have the ability to heat their home. But taking that out of the equation, and by the way, these numbers are coming from Pew Research Group. So it's not some, you know, it's not just some white supremacist in Germany who's huffing paint and coming up with these numbers because he hates brown people. This is Pew Research Center. And it's just maybe a little bit political, but for the most part, just a bunch of people that are geeking out over numbers. So Germany's percentage, you know, so they'll get to a point in 2050 where 1 in 5 people in Germany are Muslims. Is that okay? I mean, is that okay if you're a German? It's not me. It's not for me to answer. I'm not a German. But is that okay with the Germans if that happens? Is this, we're all Germans now, let's all hug it out? I mean, is that fine? Or is it going to be a problem? Sweden. Sweden is, their percentage of Muslims is set to reach 30%, 30.6% to be precise, by 2050. 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10. I mean, when I think Sweden, I think blondes. Is this going to be a problem culturally? Is this going to be a problem, you know, from a societal standpoint? Is there going to be that interaction, or is there always going to be an us versus them mentality? Are the traditional Swedes going to look at this as invaders? Ooh, you know, and if you do, what does that do to the relationship that you have with the guy in your office who's, quote, an invader as well? You know, or does this happen gradually, and does it get normalized over time? And do you get to 2050 and our kids are like totally fine with it? They're like, man, we don't care. It's not that big a deal. I don't know. Ask Sweden. Finland is set to reach 15% by 2050. Norway, 17%. So we've got these Scandinavian countries that are going, Things are changing, but it's not just them. It's also the UK. UK getting to a percentage of 16.7 by 2050. That's a lot of people. I mean, last time I was in London, it was pretty multicultural. I was surprised. I mean, not totally surprised because I've been before, but it's not a tally-ho. It's a lot more like, oh my God, Delhi ho. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that have been, and maybe this is because Britain was out colonizing places. Obviously, there's a huge Indian population in the UK. And I do realize that Indians aren't Muslims, they're Hindus. But again, it's just, if you are used to jolly old England with the whitest white people on the planet there. And now all of a sudden you've, well, maybe not all of a sudden, but by 2050, you've got almost 17% of the population being Muslims. Is that going to play well? Maybe it will, and maybe it will not. Austria, you're at about 20% by 2050. One out of five people in Austria will be Muslims. I wonder what that guy that applied to painting school would think of that. He might not be very happy with this. He might want to go start a war. There's plenty of reasons why these people are coming, and we'll get to that in a minute. And some of them are legitimate and some of them are manufactured. But I think it doesn't make you racist to recognize that this is happening. I think that's where a lot of the reflexive, you're racist, you're anti-immigration, I don't know why anti-Semitic gets thrown in there, but every time you start talking about great replacement or looking it up, they're always like anti-Semitic trope. It's like, nobody's talking about the Jews in this, but I don't know. Okay. I mean, whatever. If people are upset about it, then I guess it's their right to be upset. I don't follow the line of thinking, but whatever. There are, you know, if you just recognize that this is happening in your country, there's nothing racist about that. That just is an observation. Now, if you go out and say, I recognize that this is happening, we're going to put an end to this, you know, and then you get out there and start shooting at people, we've got a problem. But I think us just having the conversation, looking at numbers, opening up our window and looking out and seeing for ourselves, what is this? What do we make of this? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's funny. It reminds me, like, recently here in America, there was a story that came out that was like residents of Mexico City are all up in arms about the number of Americans that have come in and settled in Mexico City and aren't speaking the language. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, as a Southern Californian, I'm like, oh, really? You're going to write that article? Are you? You fucking hypocrites. So, I mean, look, anyone that knows, there has been a large Latin influx into Southern California, the Southern states, let's just say. And it's just rich to hear Mexico City complaining about that, but whatever. But let's talk about European fertility rates too, because I think this is a component that really matters. And it matters to, well, it's worth mentioning because we know that the globalist people out there focus on birth rates. And they're very particular about it. They want to see who's got the, you know, they say, oh, well, white America's got this rather low birth rate, you know, 0.9, 1.2, 1.6, whatever, somewhere in there. And then they say, but these others, you know, they have a much higher birth rate. And there's reasons for that, of course. But I bring it up because they bring it up. And so European countries, the fertility rate for non-Muslims currently is 1.6. Now, it said non-Muslims. It's not talking about white people. It's just saying they're not Muslims. So it could be Hindus and whatnot. But European fertility rates, non-Muslims, 1.6. Okay, that's the rate. For Muslims, it's 2.6. Okay, so it's a full human being higher than non-Muslims. That is worth paying attention to. Okay. That is most definitely worth keeping an eye on. Second component that I think matters, and really definitely matters when you talk about how the populations are going to triple over the next 30 years. This is the percentage of Europeans that are under 15 years old. Okay. Non-Muslims under the age of 15 years old in Europe, 15% of the population. But for Muslims under the age of 15, it's 27% of the population. So what that says is that the group that is coming into Europe, for whatever reason, has higher productive rates, and it's a younger demographic to begin with. So that means a couple of things. First, it could mean, well, younger, meaning they're going to get to a place where they're going to have more kids, as opposed to older people who have already had kids. So the younger they are, the greater the chance that at some point in the near future, they will start to reproduce and have more kids. Then, of course, you have to take into account the fertility rate for Muslims versus non-Muslims. Then theoretically, when those people do have kids, they will have more kids and they will have them sooner because they're statistically speaking a much younger demographic. So it's things to keep an eye on. And there's nothing negative about that necessarily. Now, let me tell you this. Here is where we get into a problem inside America, where a lot of Americans start to get kind of paranoid. And let me just say, I guess it's maybe not limited to Americans. I think maybe anybody that is watching this migration is going, there sure are a lot of fighting age men in this group, aren't there? And you go, yeah, there are. That's weird. What does that mean? Maybe nothing, but maybe something. So it's not old grandmas and grandpas being sent up. It's like 19-year-old guys, 20-year-old guys. And you go, okay, well, in and of itself, that might not mean anything. But when there's a huge percentage of that and you start to feel like, ooh, you start to hear terms like this is an invasion and people go, that's racist. And you go, well, I call it an invasion because all the people that are coming across the, you know, look like they're in a, like in the military, they're like they're military age. They're men. They're in that range. They are already younger. We know that, right? So is it, you know, does it make you a bad person for pointing that out, for recognizing that? Now, again, it doesn't necessarily mean that fighting age men are here to do anything bad. But if you were going to try and create a war from the inside, you would definitely want fighting age men as opposed to little old ladies. So it's something to keep an eye on. But let's talk a little bit about the reasons for why this is happening, because it's not accidental. And I think what's interesting here is that America, well, let's stay on Europe for now, because that's kind of where we started. When you see these migrant caravans from North Africa that go through Turkey and up into Europe, these are people that are leaving really bad situations. Now, depending on where you are in North Africa and in some parts of the Middle East, maybe it's always been a bad situation. But it's gotten worse, and it's gotten worse because of U.S. intervention. It's gotten worse in Libya and Somalia and Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and, you know, all these places that America's bombing the shit out of. So when you get tired of drone strikes at your wedding party, when you get tired of seeing members of your family blown to smithereens, when you get tired of living under constant U.S. occupation and you decide, I have to get out of here. There's only one direction I'm going, and it's north, because to the south, it just gets worse and there's fewer opportunities. I'm going north. Where are you going? I don't know. I'll know when I get there, but I got to get out of here, because if I stay here, I'm either going to wind up dead. My family's going to wind up getting blown up. I'm going to get imprisoned. They're going to think that I'm up to no good for some reason or whatever. I got plenty of reasons to get out of here. We're going. Now, I have no problem understanding that. Can't blame. Don't blame you. My only blame is, why didn't you leave sooner? You know, get out of there. As soon as America targets your country for regime change or whatever, there's going to be death and destruction. Just look at the before and after pictures of Libya if you need any sort of help with that. We get in there and we just destroy everything. Who wants to stick around for that? If you have the ability to leave, I don't blame you for leaving. Here's the thing. Once you decide to leave, there is an unusual amount of coordination that is happening. That is not accidental. The fact that you woke up on a Tuesday and decided today is the day that I get the fuck out of this country because I am going to get blown up, that's random. But the making of the financing of this migrant caravan through North Africa and in through you know, areas around the Mediterranean, this is by design. And it's by design by George Soros. He's been deeply involved in this. And I know he's like convenient boogeyman for everything, I guess. But the thing is, he's doing this. This is his specialty, color revolutions in these countries, creating chaos and havoc to reshape the political system in that country, but also to create a situation that's so bad that everyone wants to get out. And then when they get out, he then diverts them and directs them through. This is the path we'll go. They were handing out printed materials, like pamphlets to these people that was written in a variety of languages that were telling them, this is how you go. This is the route you go. This is where you go. You get here. We'll hook you up. We'll take care of you. You'll get cell phones and you'll get some supplies and you'll get what you need. You might even get ferried through to off to a different place. Maybe we'll put you on a boat that will be sunk in the Mediterranean. I don't know, but they've got a plan for these people. It's not accidental and it's not random. It's being orchestrated. They've made the current situation in these homelands so horrible that you either are a masochist and you stay and suffer because you feel that that's your lot in life, or you grab whatever you've got and you start walking. So that is what has been fueling this in Europe. And they, you know, and the media covers it because that's what they do. You know, they're trying to create this, and then it creates tension in the countries that are on the receiving end of these people, because first of all, hey, we've got like an immigration process and you guys aren't following it. Second of all, we've let a bunch of you in here before and you guys don't really assimilate very well in certain countries, and we don't really like that too much. And second of all, what do you bring to the table? We're going to let you into Germany. What do you bring to the table? What's your level of education? What do you have to offer? What, you have nothing? You're just getting away from your country? That's a sad story. I feel really bad for you, but we're not going to let you in here. And then we are going to let you in here. And then you have to hear it from the people that are nationals of that country. They're saying, why are you letting so many of these people in here? It's not working. And then you pass that tipping point where you allow too many people in, and then it's like you can't even police things, or you can't say, oh, geez, if I say, you know, what did the suspect look like? And you're like, he was medium build. Like, yeah. And what was his hair? His hair was nice. And you're like, what fucking color was he? Like, we need a description of the suspect. And you're like, I can't tell you that the description of the suspect is that he was a Muslim, because if I say that, then I'm going to get, you know, attacked by all these people for being racist and everything. So we've got governments. I mean, you guys know this in the UK, any of you that are listening there, you have governments that have really large problems with like grooming gangs and knife attacks and all this stuff. And they'll do anything they can to not describe the suspect for being a brown person. Now, and it's not to say that everybody that is guilty of that as a brown person. I fully recognize that, of course, but again, it's to a point now where the host country is walking this fine line where they can't even comment about it for fear of the reprisals. So it's a really weird situation. Now let's move this over to America, where there's no racism at all. I assure you. No, there's plenty of racism in America. It's just more covert than it is like overt. Yeah, it's not, you know, in America, racism is like slight, like terminology, you know. You don't, there's no, hey, you know, boy, there's none. I mean, you don't see that stuff, but the media will have you believe it's happening everywhere. It's just racism pouring out of everybody's pores. Well, in the United States, according to FAIR, which is Federation for American Immigration Reform, we have a big problem since Biden took over. We know about Trump. We know about the wall. You know, we know he wanted to build the wall, and he built part of it. You know, walls work both ways. Be very careful about the wall situation, because when we need to get the fuck out of here in a hurry, there's going to be a wall there too that we got to get over to get out. So again, you can keep the Browns out with the walls, but when the other people need to leave, then they have to get over the wall as well. So be very careful about that. But since Biden took over, The I'm just going to go off of Fair's numbers. Since Biden took over, this number is staggering. 4.9 million people have come across the borders into the United States. The Border Patrol has the figure at 3.9 million. So I don't know. I don't know what you want to, I don't know if we can round up and say 4.9, make it 5, and round up the Border Patrol figures and say 3.9, make it 4 million. So it's between 4 and 5 million. It's a lot. It's a big number. In July of this year, 2022, there were 199,976 people caught on the southern border. That's 24 people away from being 200,000. So 200,000 in July, just July. That's the Rose Bowl in Pasadena filled to capacity, like for a World Cup soccer game, twice. That's coming across every July, once a month. Okay. That's a lot of people. That's just the people that are getting caught now. Of that 200,000, 13,299 of them were unaccompanied minors. Think about that for a second. Think about being a minor means you're under 18, and unaccompanied means you're by yourself. That's a pretty large number for that month. That's just what got caught. 13,300 roughly unaccompanied minors coming across the southern border and getting caught and processed. What do we do? What do we do with this? Like, to be humane and not dicks and not blame the people. The people are fleeing because Central America is being destabilized by the United States government. That's what we do. I don't fault the people. This is not an attack on the people. The people that are leaving, the people that are migrating, they have every reason to leave. The way, you know, where they're going, obviously they're going to have problems when they get there. The people that are in the receiving end of this are going, why our country? Why'd you pick this? You're coming here as a drain on our resources, as a drain on our country, when we at a point where things are starting to get bad at these countries. You know, like, we need another 4 or 5 million of you. Like, we need a hole in our head, right? We've already got problems. We got problems all over the place. The last thing we need are more people to be part of the problem and not solutions to the problem. And then you hear Venezuela is emptying their prisons and busing everybody up to the Mexico border. And you go, well, you know what? I can't blame them. If I were Maduro or any of the Venezuelan leaders, after how America treats Venezuela, and then you see this crisis going on, you look around, you go, we've got prisons filled to the brim with the worst Venezuelan prisoners in the history of this country. They're so dangerous and so shitty, and we have to take care of all. And then you go, wait a second. What if we put them on a one-way trip to the United States, who can't secure their southern border, and then they're no longer our problem? Problem solved. I just don't think it will only be Venezuela. I mean, get ready, El Salvador and Nicaragua and Honduras. If you guys have got a bunch of criminals in your prisons, there's a perfect opportunity to get rid of all of them. And you know what? The pickings are going to be much better in America too. So they're never coming back. Or if they do, maybe they'll go be successful in America and send money home. Win-win. You know, the prisoners are out of your country. They're off in your sworn enemy's country, making the country worse. This is happening. So, we've got year to date, and as of the recording of this, we're talking about the tail end of September. So a full 9 months in, three quarters of the way through the year, we have 66 people have already been caught at the border. These are the people that have been caught, which means they're not smart enough to figure out how to get across the border without getting caught. But 66 of the people that have been caught have turned up on the FBI's terror watch list. So, look, not that being on the FBI's terror watch list means you're a bad person, because the FBI is the worst, you know, run by the worst people in the world. So, might be a bad badge of honor, to be honest. But okay, but let's talk about this. Let's talk about some differences between Trump and Biden. there's a lot of them, but nowhere is there a more measurable difference in these two than their treatment and the way they view immigration. So in 2020, under Donald Trump, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they deported 185,884 people. 185,000 people in 2020 under Trump. ICE deported them. The following year, when Biden took over, ICE only deported 59,011 people. That's the lowest level in 26 years. So, not only did Joe Biden stop the wall, the building of the wall, and I have no energy on the wall, one way or the other. It's kind of cartoonish, but whatever. He stopped the wall. He stopped enforcing our southern border, by all accounts. He has done nothing to fix anything. And on top of that, he cut the deportations by over 2/3. So it's not accidental. It's an agenda. It's part of an agenda. The question is why? And that's where you get into the replacement theory, trickery, gray area. Is this gross incompetence? Is this just life? Is this just bad luck or just the way things work? Or is it made to happen? So, I mean, look, there's no group of people that are bigger hypocrites than hardcore leftists. And we saw that on full display with the Martha's Vineyard deportation event. And for those outside of America, what happened is that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis chartered a plane for a bunch of people that were caught in Texas, which I still don't really understand why DeSantis did that. But it's a funny troll. He then loaded this plane up and flew them to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, which is very far away from the border, a very hoity-toity white place, you know, like lots of rich white devils there. And they didn't, and the people that came across were like Venezuelans. Maybe they were some of the ones that had been dropped off by the Venezuelan regime at the doorstep, going, "We packed you a picnic. Have fun in America. You know, don't tell them about the prison stuff. That'll just be our little secret." Maybe that was the group, part of the group that went to Martha's Vineyard. I don't know, but they didn't last long, because those rich white liberals were all up in arms about it. They freaked the fuck out. They got them deported within less than 48 hours to a military facility, you know, while pearl clutching and talking about how, oh, we just have to do something to help these poor people. Put them up in your house there. You've got three rental properties in Martha's Vineyard. What are you, Alistair, what are you doing with yours? Like, oh, I won't be putting the dogs in there, you know, like, oh, well, fuck off then. I thought you guys are a sanctuary city. Here's some people that need sanctuary in your city. But now it's, well, we were just kidding. Well, we're a sanctuary city. In theory, you know, when it's happening somewhere else, but when it was sent to them, and that became a huge problem, and everyone goes, well, they're playing politics with these refugee, with these people that have come across the border. Yeah, they are, both sides. It's gross, of course, but if you think the Biden administration isn't, then you're just not looking at both sides, because they're both doing this. And but luckily Kamala Harris has been tasked with fixing the border, you know, in between explaining the nuances of space and time during press conferences. She's down at the border making sure, you know, the border is a place that borders the countries. And it's because of countries that we border each other. And if we can just figure out the border, then we can come together as, listening to Kamala Harris talk is like, you want to get those people at Guantanamo Bay to spill the beans on where the missing chemical weapons biolabs are in Iraq? Just put them on a diet of Kamala Harris explaining space time, energy. I want to have that. They have to listen to her explain to those kids about NASA. Oh my God. I personally would confess to killing JFK if they did that to me. But again, look, the Biden administration has been flying these people all over in the middle of the night anyway. So they're accusing Ron DeSantis of doing this. This is such dirty tricks to politicize these people. Bro, you have been putting them on airplanes in the middle of the night and flying them to who the fuck knows where. You're not telling anybody. So you've been doing the same thing. In fact, you've been doing it on an industrial scale. Ron DeSantis did it once with Martha's Vineyard. Now, they've been sending them to New York. They've been sending them to Washington, D.C. They need to get creative with this. And to be crystal clear, look, I wish they weren't doing any of this. I wish we didn't have this problem and at the border. I wish we didn't destabilize Central America and South America to the point where people feel like they have to get it. They have to walk for freedom. I wish none of that stuff was happening. And if we are going to process all these people that come in, it would be nice if we had the capability to handle all this, but we really don't. So they've got to go somewhere. It's the least best option, right? Is that they're here and they've got to go somewhere. And by the way, it's a federal situation. It's not like the state of Texas can really deport people because that's a federal situation. Texas doesn't have the ability to do that, or at least there's laws against that. So the federal government needs to get involved, and the federal government is run by Joe Biden, and the federal government doesn't want to fix this because it is part of their strategy of destabilizing the United States. And that is part of the great replacement theory that they don't want you to talk about. And that's part of the reason why they're so reflexively angry when anybody brings it up, is because they don't want you to talk about it, because they know that if you talk about it, you will recognize that there is truth in it. That's the dangerous part. They know that if you allow a large segment, 4-5 million people, to come into this country and just bypass the traditional immigration process, where you've got people that have been working on getting their visas and citizenship for years, taking classes, taking English classes, doing all the steps, paying the money, getting in these, dealing with the fucking federal government for immigration stuff is no fun at all. Doing all the things to make sure they do it legally, and then they just watch everyone, 5 million people, just cut to the front of the line and just walk in. Why? What do you think those people are going to do as a thank you to the administration that let them cut to the front of the line? Bro, I'll let you in, but remember me come election time. Vote blue as a thank you. You know what I mean? That happens. That's part of it. Now, the Democrats can't get people to vote for them on their merit because their ideas are stupid and disjointed. So they have to bring in people that don't even speak the language and say, this is who you vote for when you come here. We'll get you IDs. We'll get you cell phones. We'll make it vote by mail. We won't check anything. Hell, we'll let you vote if you're dead. There's plenty of people that are dead in Illinois that have been voting for 20 years. We don't care. We just need bodies. And we need bodies that want to vote blue as a thank you. And you guys look like you will do that. Bueno? See? Yeah. Okay, good. We're good. That's it. That's the deal. But there's another part to this. And of course, it's a strategy that was talked about back in the 60s. It's called Clower and Piven. And these two people, guys, I don't know, Steve Clower and Bob Piven, I don't know what their first names were, but they got together and they said, listen, we want to remake the welfare system in America. It's a mess. We want to remake it, but nobody will let us remake it. So their idea was, we'll invite everybody onto the welfare system that clearly is not like built to withstand everybody being on it. But we'll invite everybody to be on it, or as many people as we can, so that we overwhelm the system and break it. And then once it's broken, then we'll rebuild it the way we want it. That is a build back better philosophy baked into Clower and Piven. And the Biden administration, what did they run on? What was their policy? Build back better. And we've talked about this before. Just the concept of building it back better implies that there was something there before that got destroyed, and therefore you needed to build it back So this is part of a Clower and Piven strategy to destroy the infrastructure of America, maybe even America itself, so that you can build it back better. And this is one way to do it. Now, again, to be fair, and this isn't, you can't just do it with immigration. You have to do it from a bunch of different directions, you know, debase the currency and scramble the minds of the people that are already here with thinking that there's 100 different genders and that everybody's asexual and all that stuff. You know, you soften them up from a bunch of different directions, but this is one avenue towards doing it. It's not the only way. You can't bring down a country just by doing this. Maybe you could if it was smaller, but or less stable, but that's not what's going on in America. So the question is, and it's a big one, and it's a dangerous one, are they replacing white people with brown people? Or is the plan actually to just replace Americans with non-Americans? I mean, did you notice the way that the people coming across the southern border in America were treated with regard to the vaccination, as opposed to people that were coming in on airplanes? The people that were coming across the southern border were not vaccinated. They were not mandated to be vaccinated. They didn't do that. Okay. The people that were coming in from Europe on airplanes or going, you know, in and out of Canada, American pro athletes couldn't even play in Canada, couldn't even get into Canada unless they were showing vaccination proof and things like that. America was acting crazy like that for a while, where they were making, you know, you got to show, you know, PCR tests and recently failed or passed PCR test or blah, 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 or whatever, all this shit you had to go through. If you're trying to play the game the right way, I just want to get in this airplane. I'm coming back in from this country. And I just, you know, do you have this? Meanwhile, the southern border, none of that shit is required. Now we go to allow us to go back in time a couple of weeks to Where Did All the People Go episode. Let me set a course for Speculation Island here for a second. But if you were mandating the vaccine for everyone in America, and it was a killer vaccine that was going to light a time bomb on their immune system and kill them all within 5 years, wouldn't you definitely want to have a group coming off the bench that wasn't vaccinated? I don't know, maybe 5 million people coming in to work the machines? You might have it. Now, I wouldn't think that if it wasn't for the disjointed vaccination requirements. That makes me think of that. When the people from the South, they were like, you don't need to get vaccinated. And of course, I'm knowing what I know about vaccines, I'm going, okay, so they're letting them off the hook, but they're being over the top assholes to everybody in America already. Why is that? You know, it's just something to ponder. You know, is it because they're planning a couple steps ahead and they recognize that we're going to be deficient by, well, I mean, according to the Deagle document, 235 million people deficient, and only 99 million people here. Now you add an extra 5 million, you're talking about adding 5% to the population. That's a substantial amount. So it's something to consider. But there's another thing. There's another thing that makes me both nervous about the great replacement theory and suspicious that it might really be true. And let me tell you what that is. There have been 3 different mass shootings that have happened over the last 3 years, in which the gunman, radicalized gunman, has left a manifesto. And in that manifesto, they have specifically talked about the great replacement. Now, again, if this were, you know, look, knowing what we know about mass shootings and how they're made to happen, either through federal agency encouragement, they're given money from the feds, they're radicalized by the feds, they're low IQ, maybe on the spectrum, people that are a little, you know, easily manipulated and things like that. We know that the feds are deeply involved, right? We know that they're doing that. And we also know that whenever you see a shooter with a manifesto, you're about to read some straight up bullshit. Okay. that's written most likely by the feds themselves. So again, I ask you, Christchurch mosque shooter, El Paso Walmart shooter, 23 dead in that one, and the Buffalo, New York grocery store shooter. All three of those left manifestos. I mean, the Buffalo grocery store guy's manifesto was straight up written by the FBI, 100%. And all three of these mentioned the Great Replacement Theory. All three of these people were far right. They all had assault weapons. The Christchurch and Buffalo guy had the same gun and the same camera system set up on the gun and all of that. Very suspicious. We've got assault weapons. We've got them talking about white genocide. We've got them driving hundreds of miles from their home to some other place to commit the shooting. The guy in El Paso lived in Dallas. The guy in Buffalo lived some other place, like 4 hours away in New York. I'm not quite sure about the Christchurch guy. He might have been a local, but still, when you lose it and grab your gun and you're going to go shoot up, I'm just going to go shoot up this place. I'll show everyone, you know, that's what you get for fucking with me. I've had it. Who drives 4 hours to do that? That's 4 hours in which you would probably rightly calm down, but that's not what happened. So there's a lot of similarities here. Lone wolf. You know, it's always lone wolf, FBI knowledge, FBI foreknowledge in Buffalo and El Paso for sure. White radicals, domestic terrorists, you know, it's got all the buzzwords and all the things that you would be looking for to sort of set you off at that. This is maybe not as authentic as it is being made to be, or at least this person isn't, you know, this person's been radicalized by some people online, and then you go to find out that the people online are feds. So my question is this, and I think it's a reasonable question to consider. Why would the, let's go with the premise that these three shootings were the people, the guys left manifestos. Let's go with the premise that the manifestos were faked, or at least added to, or whatever. I'm going to say fake. Why would you mention the Great Replacement Theory if you weren't trying to demonize it? It's the only reason why you would put it in there, is to make it sound like a bad thing. Okay. If it's a bad thing on its face, we should recognize that it's a bad thing. Why did they feel the need to make it, associate it with mass shootings, as in the Great Replacement Theory equals domestic terrorists equals mass shooting? Like, why would they care if it wasn't actually happening? That's my point. I mean, if it's just theory, if it's conspiracy theory, and it's not really happening, and it's not actually part of an agenda, and it's not really being made to, you know, to do the things that we're talking about here, if he's just rambling about this idea that he read, that these three guys read in Reddit or 4chan someplace, then what difference does it make? Why would it be across all three of these manifestos? The answer, I think, is because there is truth to it, that there is some truth to the Great Replacement Theory, that in fact, there is a plan to replace the current people with new people. But I want to go into something here, because it's not just that this is about Muslim invaders. This is not about Mexicans coming into America uninvited. It's more than this. I would say that there is a great replacement happening, but it might not be just immigration. I think there's another great replacement that's happening. What they want to talk about, if we want to cut to the core, what this author was talking about was replacing white people for brown people. Okay. Now, when you say that, you are rightly going to have people saying that sounds super racist and it sounds terrible, and you're going to need to show your work. If you're going to say something like that, you're going to need to prove it. Okay. White people for brown people, legals, you know, for illegals, current demographics for a different demographics, whatever. they are replacing people in America. They're replacing humans for transhumans. They're replacing actual science with bot science. They're replacing healthy people with sick customers through the vaccines. They're replacing beef with bugs at the World Economic Forum. They're replacing your gas car with an electric vehicle. They're replacing physical cast with CBDCs. They're replacing teachers with activists. They're replacing smart people with dumb people. They're replacing males and females for 100 different genders. They're replacing the family unit with my two mommies. They're replacing sanity for insanity, reality for the metaverse, hope for despair, logic for feelings, goodness for evil, law enforcement for lawlessness, outdoors for indoors. They're replacing everything, not just the people. Hope is being replaced. Society is being replaced. Demographics and political affiliations are being replaced. Everything's changing. So look, when somebody mentions to you that they've heard about the Great Replacement Theory and they're concerned that somebody that they know is talking about it and they think they might be a white nationalist or something, settle them down, okay? There is a replacement going on. The good guys, the people that want to be left alone, are being replaced by the bad guys, the people that want to tell you what to do, the people that have come in and decided, you know, we used to never sexualize kids, but now we're going to start with tranny story time, and you're going to go to a nightclub where we're going to have transsexual performers, and we're going to have five-year-olds putting money in their tip, you know, tucking money into their G-strings. There's a replacement going on. Values are being replaced by a different set of values that you may not subscribe to. I know I don't. And it's scary and it's frustrating and change is hard. But I'll tell you what, the best thing I think we can do is to not be pushed away when you hear somebody reflexively call something racist or whatever. That's a tool used to deflect anybody from digging into it too much. A lot of times that's a tool to protect the narrative because the narrative is not well built and it needs that defense just to keep you away from it. God, we don't want a bunch of people digging into this. They might find out it's true. So I think the Great Replacement Theory is true. It's just not limited to human beings being replaced. It's not limited to brown people coming up from North Africa into lily white Western Europe or Scandinavia. You know, it's not just that. It's replacing the goodness that we have with a new way of life that these technocrats can control and use and manipulate for their own selfish purposes. It feels like a controlled demolition. But of course, in order to build back better, you have to push the plunger down and blow out what's currently there. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.